what we've been doing is we've been working our way through the letter to the Philippians as we've been seeking to understand what it means to live out God's love, which has been poured out into our lives. And specifically, we've been kind of focusing on some aspects of hospitality and that sense of friendship and joining together as the people of God. And that's part of the reason why we've had these Hospitality Sundays, which it was kind of funny. At our last board meeting, as we talked about Hospitality Sundays, Julia and I because we talked about them and we recognized them as Hospitality Sundays, but everyone else on the board, when they talked about it, they said backyard barbecue. So whatever you want to call it, a backyard barbecue or a Hospitality Sunday, because it's both. We come together in a backyard and just enjoy some time. And this week, at the Hospitality Sunday, I mean, last time we had barbecue hamburgers and some hot dogs and salads and things like that, and we hope that you bring that as well, some little things to add to the meal. But it was a special surprise. Based on the last time we were together here, a simple poll that I took, you may recall, I'm not going to give any information about it, I realized that there's something that people here in our church would enjoy. And so we're going to have that at Hospitality Sunday next week. What's that?
Steaks.
Well, I will tell you this. Unless Lawrence is providing the steaks, we will not be having steaks. We'll have the hamburgers and the hot dogs, but there will be an additional little treat to enjoy. But it's not just about the food. It's really about coming together and just enjoying some fellowship together. And I don't know how comfortable you feel. It's a really relaxed atmosphere. If there are some people and family around and you just want to invite them to come, it's a great opportunity just to help them even connect with our church and some of the people from our church. So they're very welcome as well, just to invite them along. So today we're in Philippians chapter 2 as we continue this walk through Love Out Loud in Philippians. Philippians 2 verses 19 to 30, if you have it on your phone or in your Bible, you can open it up. I'm reading this morning from the New International Version. Philippians 2 verses 19 to 30. Actually, before I read, just quick, what I'm going to read is, it's kind of, this is really a reminder to us that this is a letter. Letters are like, we have the Bible and we read these letters that Paul wrote and we think, oh, these are wonderful theological dissertations about the character of God and his church and that. But when you read the part that we're reading today, it reminds you, you can almost imagine Paul, whether he's dictating it or to somebody and he's writing, it's like he has this thought midstream as he's been talking about one thing and then he brings it down. And yeah, here's a couple of guys who you know, and he just kind of interjects this, what we're going to read, and then he carries on with the letter. So this is a letter, and it should be read as a letter. We don't get to read it all in one thing. We kind of been taking all summer to do it. But it's a letter, and this is part of that letter. And so he writes in verse 19, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it's also necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him. Because he almost died for the work of Christ, he risked his life to make up for the help that you yourselves could not give. And so, as Paul continues this letter and these personal notes about Timothy and Epaphroditus, we really see something here that this letter is it's kind of like built around this framework that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. And I referred to it earlier in chapter 2. And really, it's that strongest impact point that creates a ripple. We called it the epicenter of love. That hymn, that song, that poem that Paul had written in chapter 2, and where he challenges the Philippians, those who are reading this letter, he challenges them to take on the mindset of Christ. Remember that part in the first part of Philippians? Take on the attitude of Christ. Let your mind be like that of Christ. And he's challenging them, and he says, let this mindset transform your relationships. And so it's really a challenge for all of us, as this whole letter is a challenge, it's an encouragement to allow our faith in Christ to live out loud or to love out loudly in our relationships. And Paul says, and just to kind of review that a little bit, he says, take on the mind of Christ. He talks about the selfless nature of Christ in chapter 2, being in very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. So Jesus, who is God, was God, and will forever be God, he did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited, something to be taken advantage of, but he did not view his status or his position as a matter of privilege or entitlement, but rather as a matter of unselfish giving. And so he selflessly gave himself. When we take on the mindset of Christ, we take on that sense of selflessness. His attitude of selflessness is expressed in him making himself nothing. It says he laid aside the glory of heaven and he became a man. He demonstrated to us what selfless looks like. It says he became a slave. Jesus gave up his rights, he gave up his privileges, and he became a slave. But it also, not only was he selfless, but he was humble. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, being obedient to death, even death on a cross. And not only did Jesus become a slave, he humbled himself further by willingly offering up his life, that which we have celebrated today in communion. He willingly surrendered himself to the offense of a cruel cross. That abstract idea of selflessness became real when Jesus humbled himself in this way. He went from the highest position imaginable to the lowest, precisely because such selfless love was an expression of his deity. And so he was selfless. The mind of Christ is selflessness. The mind of Christ is humility. And he was faithful. He was faithful. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, giving him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth, under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus was faithful. He was faithful in carrying out his mission. God the Father honored his faithfulness. And he gave him the name that is above every other name, that at before this name every knee would bow, every power would surrender to his lordship. Later on in chapter 2, as Paul continues in this letter, and he's talked about the mindset of Christ, he challenges the church there, and he challenges us, he says, be careful to put into action God's saving work in your lives. Be careful, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him. I talked about this a couple of weeks ago where there's a challenge here in these words to put our faith into action, to put into action God's saving work in our lives. And the word translated here, work out in the NIV, or put into action in the New Living Translation, means work to full completion. Bring it to its completion. And it's a word that is used, as I said before, in a mine or in a field, that a farmer's field that is being harvested. You don't mine only partially. You don't harvest a field only partially, but you work it to completion. You take out everything that you can possibly get. And so that's the sense that is in these words. Work out that saving faith to completion in your lives. And Paul is reminding us today that if you have been saved by grace, then keep working it out. If you want to live a better life, a full life, then keep working it out. Put into action what God has done in you. And these are just a couple of the pieces of this framework that are a part of this letter. And Paul's been talking about and saying, this is the mindset you should have. This is the attitude you should have working out your faith. Trust in the energy of God to work out that faith in your life. And then as he is talking about these things, he seems to step back from this sense of instruction. And he points to these two men who are known in the church in Philippi. Two men who are examples of what he has been talking about. And as I said before, this is a letter. And so you can, like I said, you can almost imagine Paul just kind of talking about all these wonderful things. And as he's talking, he says, oh yeah, you know Timothy. You know Timothy and you know Epaphroditus. These are two men who demonstrate exactly the stuff that I've been talking about. And so he points them out because both of these men have been faithful to their assigned tasks despite having to fulfill them in the face of hardship. First of all, consider Timothy. Timothy, Paul says he wants to send Timothy to Philippi. He wants to send him on so that they could be encouraged by his word and by his participation in their life together. This is what Paul says about Timothy. I have no one else like him. Wow, what a high commendation, isn't that? I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Do you hear that echo there? Look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others as greater than your own. Take on the mindset of Christ. And here Paul says, Timothy, he's a guy who does not look to his own interests. Even though others look out for themselves, you know, he says, that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. And I hope, therefore, to send him soon as I see how things go with me. So Paul and Barnabas, in their first missionary journey, as they had set out across Asia to preach the gospel, that's when they probably met Timothy as they came to the city of Lystra. The book of Acts records the healing of a cripple from birth, leading many of the inhabitants to accept the teaching that Paul brought there. And when he returned to Lystra a few years later with Silas, Timothy was already a respected member of the Christian congregation. And we read in the letter that Paul writes to Timothy, he speaks of his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, were both Jews, who had raised Timothy in the Christian faith. In 2 Timothy 1:5, it says his mother and grandmother are noted as being prominent in the church for their piety and for their faith. Timothy is said to have been acquainted with the scriptures since childhood. And yet, it also talks about Timothy having been younger. Now, we don't know how young that would be because Paul says about him, he says, don't let anybody look down on you because of your youth. And so we recognize that Timothy was a younger man who was partnered together with Paul in carrying the gospel to Asia. Timothy shows up at different times in Paul's letters because he was a partner with Paul in this ministry. Paul mentored him, and by extension, Timothy would carry on much of Paul's ministry in the churches that were planted along the way. So Timothy's relationship with Paul was close, and Paul entrusted him with missions of great importance. We've just read it here that Paul described him in this way and says, I have no one like him. So you can see that Paul really trusted and valued Timothy and the relationship he had with him. Paul is unable to come to visit Philippi. He's in prison, so he's preparing to send Timothy as his representative, to bring encouragement, someone who can share and just pour into the life of the Philippian church. Some of the things that we've already read and how he's described, it says he will show genuine concern for your welfare. Paul is referring back again to that which he said earlier about everyone looking out for their own interests, but not Timothy. He is the real deal. He is the real deal, Paul says. He has the mindset of Christ. He looks out for the interests of others. I mean, that's the guy or the gal in the room that I want to be with. The one who's looking out for the interests of others. Not the one who's kind of saying, hey, look at what I've done. Look at what I am doing. Look at me. Hey, aren't I awesome? Aren't I great? But this is the guy, this is the gal in the room that says, hey, so what's going on with your life? What are some of the things that are really exciting right now? What are the things that, or man, I heard you do this thing, and how awesome was that? That's the person. That's the kind of person that Timothy was. He was looking out for the welfare and the concern of others. Again, a practical example of what Paul had been talking about, which we've been kind of going over. I mean, that's hospitality in action, this sense of real interest in the welfare of others. It says here that Timothy has proved himself. In another translation, the word is translated, he has proven worth. He has been proven worthful. It refers to this character of one who has remained faithful despite hardship. He has remained faithful despite hardship. It's that quality that, according to Romans 5:4, results in perseverance and produces in hope that God will not disappoint. In Romans 5:4, it says, not only so, we glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Timothy is that guy who has proven his worth. Through suffering, he has persevered. He has been shaped as a man of character, and he has built in him hope. Timothy stood with Paul from the very first, when he was recruited on the second missionary journey, to the period when, after Paul's death, he faded from history. Timothy faced his share of criticism. He needed to be encouraged by Paul. In fact, some thought him too young to be a leader. Some looked down on him because he was young. He's also noted that he was weak and frail. Paul says, you know, take a little bit of wine to yourself, so, you know, to take care of that stomach issue you got, or whatever it is that they're talking about. So there's some evidence that he was weak in some ways. But despite the criticism that might have been out there, Timothy was faithful. And I think that's the word that I just want to draw onto for just for a moment here. Timothy was faithful. He exemplified, he lived out the mindset of Christ. He lived it out in his interactions. He was selfless, he was humble, he was faithful. And Paul points to him and says, consider Timothy as one to encourage them. He may not have been perfect, but he was getting it right in these things. And as this church was wrestling with even some of the issues of disunity, and there was some conflict going on, and that was kind of spilling out in different relationships throughout the church, Paul was saying, hey, take on the mindset of Christ. And here's an example. You know Timothy, and I'm going to send him, and just be prepared to receive him. He's going to bring a word of encouragement to you. But here's an example of what that mindset of Christ looks like. And then Paul goes on and he talks about Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus is the one who had hand-delivered this letter from Paul to the church in Philippi. Epaphroditus, and I'm going to twist over that name a number of times. Can I think of a shorter way to say that? I don't know. Titus. Epaphroditus had been sent from Philippi by the church to with a care package. Some things to help Paul as he was in prison. And he stayed there and he cared for Paul. And they had sent this care package with him, and he had faithfully delivered this gift, and he stayed with Paul. But while he was there, it seems that in his fervor to serve the Lord by serving Paul, Epaphroditus became seriously ill. And in fact, Paul says, he almost died. And God graciously granted Epaphroditus health, and Paul sent his friend back home with this letter. So the letter that we're reading today was actually hand-delivered by this friend, this servant, Epaphroditus, to the church in Philippi. This is what Paul wrote about him. I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, my co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger. Why? High words of commendation here. My brother, my co-worker and fellow soldier. I mean, we're talking about Paul the Apostle, the missionary to the then-known world. Paul is saying, he's my co-worker. He's right alongside with me, my fellow soldier. He longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I'm all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad. So welcome him, affirm him, receive him with great joy, and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help that you yourselves could not give me. And so Epaphroditus was this man who was a brother belonging to the same family. He was a co-worker. He was laboring towards the same goal. He was a fellow soldier. And as Timothy had provided, proved worth, so also Epaphroditus had proved his worth. He had been faithful. He was a man of obvious devotion, of faithfulness and self-sacrifice. He also, in the same spirit of chapter 2 of Philippians, he also did not look to his own interest, but he looked to the interests of others, the interests of Paul in this case, and he modeled this mind of Christ. He labored on Paul's behalf until his own health broke, and even when he was sick, Epaphroditus took no thought of himself. Rather, he was distressed because his church had heard of his illness, and he didn't want them to worry. His example, as Paul noted, was to encourage the Philippians in their putting into action their faith. And so, these two examples, Timothy and Epaphroditus, really show the church in Philippi, but they also show us what the mindset of Christ looks like. It means not looking to your own interests, but serving wholeheartedly, fully devoted, committed, pouring out their lives actually in service together with Paul. When I think of examples, those who have gone before, those who are still alive, I think of different people in my life who have encouraged me by their faithfulness, who have encouraged me, and not perfect people, but who have encouraged me by their faithfulness, whose lives have inspired me to live a life after the mindset of Christ. And one person that I was thinking about, and that last week I had spent some time at a family camp that we've been connected with as a family for many years. In fact, my dad was a big part of that camp over the years. And it's like when I walk down the streets and look at the cabins and the buildings, like it's got my dad's markings all over the place because he built so many of the things. And the reality is so many of the people, like they come up to me and they say, "Hi, Paul." And one of the first questions they say is, "And how's your dad? How's your mom and dad? How are they doing?" And so it's like I can't just get away from it. And so I've been thinking about that a little bit. And I think of a man who, for me, exemplified and encourages me to live faithful and even after the mindset of Christ. My dad was called to pastor later in life. He was a pastor. And in fact, he had 5 children when he was called into ministry. And he never finished school. I think he got a grade 8 education, but he studied at night school at a Bible college in Vancouver to get his education so that he could be a pastor. And he worked a full-time job. So here's this guy, 5 kids, a full-time job, and then he did night school, preparing himself to be a pastor. After graduation, he moved his family to northern Alberta, Leduc, Alberta, so a small community just south of Edmonton. In fact, that's where I was born. And they moved into a small parsonage, and that parsonage at that time, they didn't have an indoor washroom. I mean, they had an outhouse. Okay, think about it. 5 kids. There's another one on the way because my next older brother was born there as well. My dad literally did the indoor plumbing on the house in the first couple of years that they lived there. So they pastored there. My mom and dad pastored there for a few years. having built an indoor bathroom. And they moved to London, Ontario. And there they pastored for 7 years. And then they moved to Vernon, BC for another 5 or 6 years. And all these years, my dad always had to have another job to support the family because the church never had enough. They just weren't able to support a family that had now grown to 8 kids. The first church that was large enough to support a full salary for my dad, where he didn't have to work alongside his ministry job, was in Kitchener. And I was 12 years old when we moved there. So if you can just imagine all those years, he was working side jobs just to support his family. My dad worked hard. My mom worked alongside. I never seemed to hear them grumble, though there were certainly tough times. My dad pastored a few more churches before he fully retired about 23 years ago. And they're retired in Kelowna, BC, and enjoying it there. But when I think of my dad's life, and again, my dad wasn't perfect, so I'm not just putting him up on this pedestal, but there was a real sense of somebody who proved his worth. He was faithful. Not looking to the interest, his own interests, but to the interests of others. Serving, abandoning his life really in devotion to others and to his family. Like, he didn't leave the family out, but like there was a part of bringing us all alongside that in that journey. And it's almost like those words of Paul in the letter to the Philippians come alive when I think of my father. And so I'd ask you this question this morning, actually two questions. Who has encouraged you by their example of being faithful? Who has encouraged you in your life, living faithfully, selflessly, with humility, serving others? Think about how their example has blessed your life and how that has blessed others. I want to encourage you to acknowledge that, maybe in telling it in a story to somebody or even acknowledging it to them and saying, thank you for being faithful. Thank you for encouraging me by your example. Maybe they're a Timothy in your life and somebody who you've been able to mentor and walk alongside and you see that in their life and that's been an encouragement to you. Or maybe it's somebody who has come alongside and served with you or somebody that you have worked with. That you can say, you know, your faithfulness is a blessing to me. Acknowledge it and be thankful. And then the second question I would ask is, who have you been an encouragement to by your own example of being faithful? Where you have lived unselfishly, where you have looked out for others' interests instead of your own, who have you been an encouragement to? Not only who has been an encouragement to you, but who have you been Timothy to? Who have you been Epaphroditus to? Whether it has been noticed or not, I think it's okay for you to say, you know what? I know I was faithful. I know that I looked to their interests ahead of my own. God knows you have been faithful in this. Entrust this gift of your example to God. Allow Him by the Holy Spirit to work out its purpose in you and those whom you are an example to. It may be your children. It may be someone who's just kind of walked into your life and maybe they're not a part of it anymore. People who you have been an example to. Maybe it's somebody in your workplace who you are an example to. And within your extended family, within the church. I think it's good for us to ask these questions as we consider these practical examples, Timothy, Epaphroditus, who came alongside Paul, and who, as he's writing these wonderful things about what it looks like to live out and to walk out this saving faith, to live with the mindset of Christ, as he's thinking of these things, these lofty ideas, and he says, and by the way, Timothy, I'm going to send him to you. Boy, he is someone who has proven himself. You can trust him. And Epaphroditus, the one whom you sent me, who you were worried about, who you were anxious about, I'm sending him back to you. He is my co-laborer, my worker alongside. He's my brother. a fellow foot soldier with me. Who has encouraged you by their example of being faithful? And who have you been an encouragement to by your own example of being faithful? May God bring these people to our minds that we can continue to walk together, living and serving faithfully, bringing honor to Jesus Christ, living out the relationships that he's called us to, loving out loud in this way. Let me pray. God, you are good. We thank you so much for the people that you have brought into our lives, those who are examples to us of faithfulness, examples to us of those who live with the mindset of Christ, examples to us that encourage us to live our lives faithfully, not serving ourselves alone, humbly, honoring you. And so we thank you for those who have encouraged us. And we thank you, O God, for those also whom we have been able to encourage by our own examples. Thank you, O God, that you have helped us to be faithful. You have helped us, O God, to be an encouragement to others by our example and by our faithfulness. And I pray, O God, that you would just continue to help us. Lord, that we would continually take on the mindset of Christ, confessing, O God, where we fail and where we are selfish and where we are self-centered and where we look only to our own interests, confessing that and laying that down before you, seeking to live lives that bring honor to you by taking on the mindset of Christ, working out our salvation, working it out in such a way so that it's completed in us. God, help us to be an encouragement by living lives that are faithful. Faithful to you and faithful to one another. Be glorified in us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.